practicing benevolence is a part of Christian service. Would you dare to examine your budget and see if you are obeying the Lord in that part of your financial stewardship? We call it empathy, the projection of our own personality into the personality of another in order to understand him better. It is an identification with another person to the extent that you experience what he or she is experiencing, whether of joy or sorrow. Now, Jesus was able to do that. That's why the Bible says, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows." Matthew chapter 8, verses 14 to 17 reports his ministry of healing in Capernaum, and it reports that as the fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah in his bearing our griefs and carrying our sorrows. Had you thought that Christians are to be involved in healing the hurts of people about them as Jesus did? Well, they are. For one of the marks of a growing Christian is that he has a ministry to hurting people. You read God's command to that end as recorded in Hebrews 13, verse 3. "Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body." Now look carefully at that verse of Holy Scripture. First, there are two classes of people whom you are to remember: those in prison and those who are suffering ill treatment. Second, there is to be complete identification with those persons as if you were in their place, experiencing exactly what they experience. Now that is empathy in the full sense. It is the finest expression of Christian love. Have you discovered that blessed truth in Isaiah 63, verses 7 through 9? The passage begins, "I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord according to all that the Lord has bestowed upon us." And it concludes with this amazing statement, "In all their affliction, he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and his pity, he redeemed them, and he bore them and carried them all the days of old." Now note the statement, "In all their affliction, he was afflicted." Now that means he felt just as they felt. And it means that he feels today what we feel. Think about that. When we empathize with those who suffer, we're showing the spirit of our Heavenly Father. Benevolence is close to the heart of God. You notice in Scriptures how often a reference is made to his care of the poor. The prophet praised God with the words, "You have been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat." Now you're reflecting the Spirit of God when you take a care for helping those who need help. God commanded that 10% of the income of ancient Israel be set apart every third year to care for the poor. He required that the corners of the wheat fields were not to be harvested, or that grain that dropped to the ground by the scythe not be picked up, so that the poor could glean the fields and could have food. You remember the story of Ruth, who gleaned in the field of Boaz so that she and Naomi may have food? That beautiful story reminds us of God's care for the poor. Does someone object those are Old Testament regulations and that we're New Testament Christians? Fine. Look at the great Christian Council of Jerusalem recorded in Acts chapter 15. The council was called to discuss what was required of Gentiles when they became converts to Christ. Should they be required to become proselytes to Judaism, or would God accept them without Jewish ordinances? Well, it was a solemn assembly addressed by Paul, Barnabas, Simon Peter, the Apostle James, and others. At last they came to a conclusion, and that conclusion sets the tone of the Christian faith in that time and for all generations since. These are the requirements for Christians. Religiously, they were to be faithful to God alone by keeping themselves from idols. Physically, they were not to drink blood or eat flesh of animals that had been strangled. Morally, they were not to commit adultery. And socially, they were to remember the poor, according to Galatians 2:10. Isn't it significant that of all the rules which might have been set forth, that benevolence was one of the four? I find that quite surprising, But it shows without question how concerned God is that His people be involved in a ministry of help to hurting people. There's another surprise to be found in Ephesians 4:28. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. Now the text is evidently a prohibition of theft. Let him who stole steal no more. The Bible is quite strong in teaching the right to private property, which is inviolate from intruders. Thus God said, "You shall not steal." The text is also a command to productive labor. The man who pleases God must keep on working with his own hands at some honest vocation so as to provide a livelihood for himself and his dependents. Now that's not surprising. God said if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. But there's another statement in the text which holds the surprise. A man is not only to work to provide livelihood for his family, but also to have something to give to help those who are in need. The text says, that he may have something to give to him who has need. You catch the significance of that statement? God wants us to work to provide for our own necessities, yes, and to have something above that which we can give to those less fortunate than ourselves. Sharing in benevolence is a part of Christian stewardship. Would you dare to examine your budget and see if you are obeying the Lord in that part of your financial stewardship? There's much of our Lord's teaching which is not recorded in the Bible. John said the whole world could not contain the books if all that Jesus said and did were written, but one part of the Lord's teaching made a great impression on his disciples. It was mentioned by the Apostle Paul as he gave his final address to the elders of the church in Ephesus. He said, "I have showed you all things, how that laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" Now, we do not know when Jesus said that, for it is not recorded in either of the four biographies of Jesus by Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. But he said it, and the disciples were greatly impressed by it. The second epistle of Paul to the Corinthians gives two chapters, 8 and 9, to encouraging their benevolent gifts to help the poor saints in Palestine. He makes the appeal for benevolent offerings in Corinth, and he bases it upon the evident grace of God that was bestowed on the churches in Macedonia because of their liberal offerings. He sets our giving to those in need against God's gift to us in Jesus, His only begotten Son, saying, "Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift." What a call to benevolence that is. Father, we thank You that You have provided more than enough for our necessities, and we ask for grace to keep from spending on luxuries what You've provided for us to give to meet the necessities of others. Help us to grow in the Spirit of Jesus. Help us to be willing to suffer personal need in order to help others for Jesus' sake. Amen.